We are so excited to announce something brand new here at Bayshore Community Church. Available now on any of the app stores, either Apple or Android or even Amazon, is the exciting Bayshore Church app for your mobile device. Now, this app is chock full of content for you to use to engage with Bayshore. There's a sermon archive where you can browse past messages from both campuses. There's ways for you to sign up for classes, for events, for small groups. There's events calendar so that you don't miss anything that's happening. There's even a Bible reading section where you can get daily updates on where we are reading in the Bible. Also, this app has a great new giving feature, a very sleek and efficient way to easily give anytime you like and also have reoccurring gifts. So be sure to check out our app. You can go to bayshorecc.org/app. That's bayshorecc.org/app. And find links to download the Bayshore Church app.
My big fat mouth gets me in trouble. Can anybody relate to that right there? Anybody? You are not playing along. All right. Hey, is anybody excited to talk about my big fat mouth for the next 4 weeks? Anybody? Wait. We're not talking about the person next to you, their big fat mouth. I would be more excited about that. We're talking about your big fat mouth. And here's the deal. I tried to get this series renamed. We were meeting with our Millsboro campus a few weeks ago, and we were talking about this series, and I was like, hey, guys, what if instead of naming the series My Big Fat Mouth, we named it Watch Your Grill? And there were some younger people in the room, and all the younger people were like, yes, that's awesome. But I noticed everybody else, these are the older people in the room, were confused. And finally, my dad piped up, and he's like, well, Joel, what do grills have to do with this? And I think he thought I was taking this series in like a cooking direction or something. I don't know. And if you're confused right now, your grill is your mouth. Anyway, we named this series My Big Fat Mouth. And before we dive in, I want to say what's up to our online family. Hey, Facebook Live, podcasters, Bayshore app listeners, all the people listening on 99.1. We're so pumped that you guys are hanging out with us online. And can you guys in the room help, like, kind of tap into that big fat mouth of yours and welcome in our online family? Here's what I want us to do, okay? I want you guys, this section, on three, I want you guys to yell, what's up, online family? And hand motions give you extra points, okay? So what's up, online family? And when you guys get done with that, I want you guys to jump in and point at them and say, you all got a big fat mouth. All right, a little offense in church. All right, what's up, online family? You all got a big fat mouth. You guys good? You get the fun part. I'm just going to be honest with you. Okay, so here we go. One, two, three.
What's up, online family? You all got a big fat mouth.
Somebody in this area enjoyed that too much. I like that. Well, we are going to have some fun today because today, we are going to talk about complaining. And maybe you've noticed that there's a crock pot in the middle of the room, and you might be asking why. And if you did not notice there's a crock pot in the middle of the room, you're like a church person. And you don't even notice because, like, churches and crock pots go together like Funland and Screaming Kids. Like, you just didn't even notice this thing. But there's a crock pot in the middle of the room because I made buffalo chicken dip for you all. I did, okay? And one person in just a minute is going to get a chance to try my buffalo chicken dip. All right, now, before I pick somebody to try my buffalo chicken dip, let me tell you guys a story. I was in Walmart about a month ago, speaking of complaining. So I was in Walmart, and I saw the Frank's Red Hot, and that triggered my buffalo chicken dip craving. And so I made an announcement to my family, who I was with, in the middle of the grocery store. I made the announcement that I was going to make my final batch of buffalo chicken dip of the winter season. Because this is not a summer food. Okay, unless you're shooting for the dad bod, which I am not. This is not a summer food. And so I made that announcement to my family. And I would love to tell you that, like, the crowd, my family went wild. But they didn't. They just kind of looked at me in the grocery store like, well, why are you telling us this, Dad? And so they were not excited, but I was excited. And so I got everything I needed for the buffalo chicken dip. And about a week later, I went to go make my buffalo chicken dip. And I got all my ingredients out, except I could not find the can of chicken that I need to make the buffalo chicken dip. And I was looking everywhere, and I started to freak out, and that's when it hit me that a few days before, Stacy had made her chicken pot pie, and I was convinced that she had stolen my cans of chicken. And I started thinking, like, how can you make buffalo chicken dip without chicken? And so I went to Stacy with my big fat mouth, and when I went to Stacy, I just kind of was like, hey, honey, okay, you stole my cans of chicken, and I can't make buffalo chicken dip without chicken. And I was like, do you not remember the announcement that I made in the middle of the grocery store to the whole family? Like, does nobody care about my chicken dip needs? And Stacy was trying to tell me something, but I was on a roll. You ever been in that situation? I was on a roll, so I had some more things to say. And I was like, nobody cares about my dip needs. All I need is some dip around here. Like, this is all I want. I don't ask for much. I just need some dip. I'm not that happy about it. And so finally, I breathed long enough for Stacy to say something. And she said, hey, babe, I saved your two cans of chicken for the chicken dip. I can literally see your cans in the cabinets right now. And so I looked to prove her wrong. But there were the two cans of chicken in the cabinet right where she said. And how many of you know that as men, we kind of have like momentary blindness when we look in the refrigerator and cabinets? And so it was not my proudest moment, all right? And I am like an expert and professional complainer when I want to be. Like, it's like a talent for me. Like, all it took were two misplaced cans of chicken to set me off. Now, maybe if somebody tried this chicken dip, you might understand why I would complain about not having the chicken dip. Okay, like, I think it might just not justify, but just almost justify the complaint. So does anybody want to try some chicken dip in this service? Anybody? Andrew Howard, you're the man. Come here, buddy. You like buffalo chicken dip?
I love it.
You love it. Well, if you don't like this, I'm not a proponent of lying in church, but don't tell everybody you don't like it. Just pretend like you like it. All right? All right, and so we have a big bowl here, so go ahead and get some chips. And I have some water here. I tried to be mindful of the Frank's Red Hot because we have different... It's not. It's medium.
If I can get the chips not cracked.
The chips cracking. It's all right. Whenever you do something live, this is what happens. It's good. You all, like, the anticipation is killing you, right? Have you ever had this many people watching you eat before?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
Okay.
That's good.
It's good?
It's really good.
Can you say that again? It just helps me.
Amazing.
Oh, that's amazing. Man, I'm going to, like, write that on my cookbook.
Better than my grandmother's.
It's better than your grandmother's.
Sorry, grandma. She's not here.
That's a granny burn right there. Well, isn't that almost worth complaining over not having chicken for?
Yeah,
all right, you're helping me out, man. Thank you. Give Andrew a hand. Now, look, I know you all didn't get any chicken dip, but don't complain, okay? We're not complaining today, all right? Everybody here can get a chance to try my buffalo chicken dip because it'll be in the lobby after the service. True story. I made a ton of it yesterday. I don't need to be bringing it home, okay? So you guys can try some when you leave today. But in keeping that story in mind, I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, I can't believe my pastor complains like that over buffalo chicken dip. And before you judge me, you've got your own buffalo chicken dip story, don't you? Okay, some of you complain on the way to church this morning. Some of you complain when you got to church. Like, you got here and you look down the stairs. You're like, these steps are still here? Like, can't this church take my donations and buy an escalator or something? Like, I don't know. But we all complain, and I think I know where complaining starts, okay? I don't know if you know this, but we have about 60,000 thoughts a day. 60,000 thoughts. That's what studies show. See, they want it so bad, they just got to leave. They're like, we're out. Hey, thanks, guys. But we have about 60,000 thoughts every single day, and this is the wild part. About 80% of those thoughts are negative. That's 48,000 negative thoughts a day. Okay, that's a lot of thoughts about Adele songs. It's a lot of thoughts about a lot of stairs heading down into churches. 48,000 negative thoughts. Now, how did they measure that? I don't know, but it sounds about right to me. But with 48,000 negative thoughts, is anybody here surprised that a few of those slip out of our big fat mouth as complaints? Check out what Jesus had to say. I love this. This is Matthew 12:34. Jesus said, "For whatever is in your heart, 48,000 negative thoughts. For whatever's in your heart determines what you, help me out here. Say. How many of you know that what goes on in here and what goes on in here is eventually going to come out of here? That's what happens. And so my hope for all of us today, and I'm putting myself way in this category because of the Buffalo Chicken Dip story. Okay, hello. My hope is that all of us will complain less this week and see God's goodness more this week. So that's what we're going to talk about. Now, if I were you sitting in your seat, I would be asking this question. What is complaining technically? Because, like, I don't think I complain. You know, you might be thinking, well, my spouse complains. Don't elbow. You might think my teenager complains, but I don't complain. And so let me show you how Webster Dictionary defines complaining. You ready for this? All right, complaining. We'll throw it on the screen. Complaining is expressing annoyance or dissatisfaction about anything. Everybody say, uh-oh. Yeah, okay. Now, I'll be honest with you. That definition annoys me a little bit. So we all complain. And I'm not knocking on you for complaining. In fact, even Jesus' closest followers, his disciples, were expert complainers. There's this story in the Bible, maybe you've read it. It's the story of the Last Supper. And if you've not read it, there's also, you've probably heard of it from Da Vinci's painting of the Last Supper. And just as a refresher, here's a picture of that. And by the way, Da Vinci wasn't there painting that. It's not like he was perched in the corner doing his painting, in case you get that question at Team Trivia Night, okay? He was not there. So we don't know what this scene really looked like, but what we do know is this was the last meal that Jesus shared with his disciples, because later on that night, Jesus was arrested, and by 3 p.m., the very next day after the Last Supper, Jesus was executed for our sin on the cross. And so back to the Last Supper, Jesus tells his disciples, hey, this is all about to go down. And he illustrates what's about to go down to them with some bread and some wine. And he says, hey, my body, it's about to be broken for you all, just like this bread. And he broke bread to show them. And then he said, my blood is going to be poured out for you guys, just like this wine is poured out. And I'm doing all this for you. In other words, like, this is the moment where you get grace for every sin you've ever committed. Now, that's good news, right? Like, that's the best news Jesus could have ever have given them. So I bet you the disciples were ecstatic about this news. Like, let's just see how they reacted to the greatest news ever, okay? So let's look. We're in Luke 22, 24. It says, then, after dinner, they, the disciples, began to argue among themselves about who would be the greatest among them. Did I read that right? Now, I like to just envision how these scenes go down. And so in my mind, what happened is you got Peter, and Peter's like, hey, Jesus, that's great about the bread, and that's cool about the wine thing, but we got something important to talk about. I just need you to know that I am the greatest. I'm greater than James and John. Like, Jesus, I am the greatest, aren't I? I'm greater than James and John. And I think James and John were like, you're not the greatest, Peter. You're about to deny Jesus. We're the greatest. Jesus, James, and John, this brother duo, we are the greatest. Peter's not the greatest. And I think Bartholomew stood up and was like, hey, I will settle all this. I am the greatest. And I think all the disciples were like, should we tell him? Okay, hey, Bartholomew, man, hey, I'm sorry to tell you this, but in the future, nobody remembers you're a disciple, man. So you ain't the greatest. And so, look, these guys are complaining. It blows my mind. And I know that's kind of funny, but don't miss this, okay? They chose to find something to complain about instead of seeing God's goodness, which was literally right in front of them. Who does that? Who does that? I think the answer is we do it every single day. Complaining blinds us from seeing God's goodness every single day. And so let me ask you a question, okay? And we'll throw this on the screen, okay? Because I really want you to think about this. What do you complain about the most? What do you complain about the most? Now, when I asked this, I told people to think about it. In the first service, I said, think about it. And somebody was like, I complain about traffic. I'm like, wow, this guy just wants to tell us. How many complain about traffic, though? Yeah. All right, maybe you don't complain about traffic. Maybe you complain about long waits at restaurants. You ever gone to a restaurant and they said there was a 30-minute wait? You ever complain about that? Or you go to Agave and they say, no, there's not a 30-minute wait. There's a 3-day wait. Like, how's that even possible? I don't even know how that works. Or maybe you go to the airport and you have to wait in the TSA security line. Anybody complain about that? Oh, yeah. Or the DMV. And by the way, we're not talking about current DMV because it's pretty good. We're talking about 10 years ago DMV when it was in a single wide trailer. You remember that? You go in, you have to pick your number and you know, pick it and you're like, oh, I got 634. That's not bad. And you look up and it's like, now serving number 3. Have a seat in the single wide trailer. And so maybe you complain about long waits. Maybe that's not it for you, okay? Maybe for you, you're watching Netflix and you are binging, baby. You watched 7 seasons in 7 days. And I don't know how that's possible. You don't have a job or something. I don't know. But you get to the final episode of the final season. You like get all ready to watch it. And as soon as you start watching it, a groundhog somewhere in Sussex County bites through the internet line and you lose Netflix. Who complains when Netflix goes out? Yeah. Or your kid's school gets canceled for snow. For snow. And you look out the window and there's like a 16th of an inch of snow. And you're like, how? I don't even understand. And so we complain about the weather. We complain about our work schedules. People complain about being single and then they get married. And then what do they complain about?
Being married.
Oh, yeah. Being married. And so we complain about being stuck in traffic. And we're complaining in our car that we own instead of being thankful that we own a car because 86% of the world's population doesn't even have a car. And so would you agree we all complain too much?
Yes.
And look, here's the problem with complaining, because the problem with complaining isn't the weather. The problem with complaining isn't that Netflix isn't coming out with enough original content. Okay, no. The problem with complaining is this, and we'll put it on the screen, is that we've taken our eyes off of God's goodness, and instead we're only looking at ourselves. Look, complaining thrives when life is all about me, myself, and I. But here's the good news. Complaining dies when we choose to see God's goodness in everything. And I like that word, everything. Let me show you something in Philippians 2:14. This is what it says. It's on the screen. It says, do everything. Wait, do how much?
Everything.
Do everything without complaining and arguing. Now, I like that verse because I have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. And they complain and argue for a living. Like, that's their job. So I think I've found the April memory verse for these guys, okay? But do everything without complaining. The second reason I love this verse is because of who wrote it and where it was written. The guy who wrote this was a guy named Paul. And he wrote these words while he was in prison, literally chained to a Roman guard 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so when he's sleeping, he's chained. When he goes to the bathroom, hello, chained. When he is writing these words, he is in chains, okay? Like that is not a good moment for him, right? And so just remember, that's the situation he's in. And let's relook at this verse. As you know, he's in chains. And Paul says, in chains, do everything without complaining and arguing. I like that. I like that because it helps me know that no matter what I'm going through, I don't just have to see my situation. I don't just have to see something to complain about, okay? I can choose to see God's goodness in the middle of a not-so-good situation. And when it comes to complaining, and I bet you would agree, okay, complaining is a matter of perspective. Years ago, Stacy and I were in Mexico, Riviera Maya, for our 5-year anniversary trip, and it was a good trip. It was so good that my daughter was born 9 months later. I mean, it was good. What happens in Mexico? I don't know. I say in Mexico. Anyway, so we're in Mexico, and it's like 80 degrees. And it's amazing. And let me just tell you, when it's 80 degrees and it's December, okay, I am just like, I'm praising Jesus and eating guac. Like, I am just happy about life. But my body is not used to 80 degrees in December. And so, like, one day I was kind of like in shock from the December sun. And so Stacy and I decided to go to lunch, just kind of get in from out of the heat. And we went to lunch. And our waiter came over, and he got us some waters, and he had broken English, but he said to us, hey, where are you guys from? And I said, hey, well, we're from Delaware, and he was clearly confused. And so he moved on. And so he said, well, why did you all come to Mexico in December? And I said, well, it's our anniversary. You know, we're just celebrating our anniversary. He said, but it's cold in Mexico in December. And he looked outside. He said, mucho frio. I was like, mucho frio? Would I have a bad batch of guac or something? It's 80 degrees outside. And I was like, man, I'll put you in my luggage. I'll bring you back to Sussex County. I will show you cold in December. Then I'll give you some scrapple for coming. But like, come on over to Sussex County. You'll see cold. But his perspective, being from Mexico, man, that's cold. My perspective is like, man, this is like the best day ever. And so like, we see what we want to see. If you want to see the good, you'll see it. If you want to see the bad, you'll see it. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to look for the bad because guess what? I will find it. I want to look for the good because I know when I look for the good, I will find it. I will find it. I will find it. I want to see life like Paul said, where he said in another area, he said, in all things, God is working for my good. In all things, God is working for my good. What a perspective from that guy. And so if I've kind of lost you, maybe you've checked out, or you know, maybe you're counting lights in here or something, just come back to me because I want you to remember this part of the message, okay? These two slides are really the point of the whole thing. If you don't remember anything, remember this. The first thing is this. If you don't like something, don't complain about it. Change it. Look, it's not bad to notice something you don't like. It's not a sin to notice something you don't like, but you don't have to complain about it. If you can change it, change it. If you don't like your job, let's get you a new job. If you don't like your financial situation, then come through Financial Peace University here in September. If you don't like your mother-in-law, move to Texas. I don't know what to tell you there, okay? In case my mother-in-law is watching, I love you, Teresa. I'm not moving to Texas. You're awesome. But if you don't like something, don't complain about it. Change it. And here's the second thing, okay? If you can't change it, you still don't complain about it. Change your perspective. Change how you think about it. Change how you look at it. Change your perspective. Let's go back to Paul for a second. Okay, Paul, he's in prison. He's probably chained to a new Roman guard every 8 hours. Can he change his situation? No, he can't change his situation. And so he just changes his perspective. In fact, in Philippians 2:17, while he's in prison, he says, I am glad and I rejoice in prison. I'm kind of wondering, if you were in chains, in prison, anybody here going to complain just a little bit? Come on, let's be honest. You're in church. Look, like, nobody raised their hand. So for the rest of you, we're going to lock you in this basement for a week, and then we'll see how you feel at the end of it. Okay, no. Look, we would all complain, or a lot of us would complain. And so how could Paul, in chains, in a prison, say, I am glad and I rejoice? Well, here's how I think, at least, he could say that. Because Paul wasn't the center of his story. Jesus was the center of his story. And because Jesus was the center of his story, he wasn't able to just see his situation. He was able to look past his situation that wasn't so good, and he saw an opportunity instead of complaining. And let me show you what his opportunity was that he saw. Philippians 1, 12 through 13. He says, and I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, and let's bring this home. I want you to know, Bayshore Community Church, that everything that has happened to me here in prison has helped to spread the good news. In other words, Jesus. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. He's like, wait, you all think I'm the prisoner? Okay, no. They chain me to a new Roman guard every 8 hours. We're talking fresh meat, guys. And they can't get away. And so I just tell them about Jesus, and they can't leave because, you know, rattle, rattle, rattle. You're in chains. Can't unfriend me on Facebook. I just get to tell them about Jesus, like one-on-one. And so Paul was able to see his opportunity. Okay, if you can't change it, don't complain about it. Change your perspective. Change the way you think about it. Change how you talk about it. Change your perspective. The first wedding I ever did was for Sean and Michelle Merlonghi. And some of you guys know Sean and Michelle. And if you don't, here's a picture of them to refresh your memory. And doesn't that just look like a magazine cover? It's crazy. And I said this in the first service, but dang, look at Sean's hair. That is a nice head of hair right there. I'm not complaining, okay? I save money on shampoo, but it's, see, changing my perspective. But years ago, they had planned out their wedding, and they had planned the perfect October wedding. They had rented this spot at Cape and Lopin State Park, and they were going to have their dog, Kyla, come down the middle aisle as the ring bearer, because it was an outdoor wedding, so you could do that kind of thing. And then afterwards, the reception was going to be right there in Cape and Lopin State Park where the ceremony was, and they were going to have like this Hawaiian barbecue beach thing, and they themed this perfectly themed beach wedding for October. And how many of you know that October is the best month of the year here? I mean, it does not get better than October. And but it does get better than that weekend that their wedding was planned, because I don't even know how this is possible, but I think like a nor'easter merged with a hurricane and sat right over top of Cape and Lopin State Park on that Saturday. Okay, we're talking, it was rainy. It was windy. It was so windy that the Lewis Beach parking lot got filled with sand, and Michelle got her car stuck in the Lewis Beach parking lot in the sand. Here's a picture, okay? Yeah. That's bad. Okay, and it was cold. And we're not talking like Mexico cold. We're talking cold. And so this will make most people complain, right? Like, this is their wedding day. But I didn't hear him complain one time. Sean called me a day or so ahead of time. He's like, hey, man, pretty crazy outside. He's like, Michelle's got some crazy ideas, though. He's like, Michelle wants to bring all this stuff inside, and she figured out how she can have the beach theme inside. And so she's going to have this whole thing inside, and she's got all her signs ready to go, and they're all, you know, themed out for outside, but we don't care. We're going to have fun with it. And he said, I'm even going to sneak my dog Kyla inside. And he's like, don't tell anybody. I'm like, I'm the preacher, man. Don't tell me these kind of things. But they snuck the dog in. And then at the reception, he's like, Michelle is going to have a slip and slide outside in the rain for like the crazy people who still want to go out in the rain and use a slip and slide. And I was like, don't ask me to do that, man. That's kind of crazy. But they had all this stuff, and I didn't hear him complain one time. And to this day, it was one of my favorite weddings that I ever went to. And it wasn't because they didn't have anything to complain about. They just changed their perspective. If you don't like something, don't complain about it. Change your perspective. And what if you looked for God's goodness even in the middle of a not-so-good situation? What if God gave you the best opportunities you could have in the middle of your not-so-good situation? Speaking of complaining, on Monday, I was walking into the gym, and if the gym doesn't make you want to like stop and yell like, this is the worst place in the world, then we're glad you're here, Richard Simmons. But for the honest people in the world, or in the room, like, it's the struggle is real. And so I was walking into the gym literally on Monday thinking about this message, and as soon as I walked in, I saw my buddy Taheem. Now, some of you know Taheem because I brought him here in December and shared his story, and here's a picture just to refresh your memory from that day. Now, by the way, this is what you're supposed to look like when you go to the gym. I'm doing something wrong, clearly. But anyway, what you can see from this picture is Taheem's story. And in 2013, Taheem and his younger brother, they were crossing Route 113. And as they were crossing Route 113, they were standing in the median waiting to cross again. And a car drove in the median and hit him and his brother. And Taheem lost his brother that day. And Taheem lost his leg above the knee. Now, that would make the strongest person complain, wouldn't it? It's not a good situation. But Taheem, he's not only one of the strongest people I know emotionally, he's one of the strongest people I know physically, because when I walk into the gym, this is what I normally see Taheem doing. This is the next picture. Now, when I walk in and see that, I'm like, I can't complain anymore. Like, I just gotta go, I gotta go. And the reason Taheem stuck out to me on Monday is because when I was walking, I was literally thinking about this message, and what caught me was the shirt that Taheem was wearing. And here's a picture of the shirt that he was wearing on Monday. Give hope, stop complaining. Isn't that amazing? Now, what you may not see or look at is this logo right here in the corner of his weight belt. It says TYL Motivation. And TYL stands for Thank You, Lord, Motivation. And the reason he has that logo on his belt is that's a company he started. As soon as he went through that situation, losing his brother, he thought that God gave him an opportunity. And he wanted to start a motivational weightlifting company and a motivational speaking company. And he wants to inspire people who are in a not-so-good situation and want to give up, that they can have hope and they can stop complaining. And he does all of this under the heading of thank you, Lord, motivation. Come on now, like that is amazing. And here's the coolest thing. Yesterday, I didn't know how this played out, but yesterday he did his first weightlifting competition and he got first place. Isn't that amazing? So cool. And so look, that inspires me. And I don't know what that does for you, but I hope that gives you hope. I hope maybe that changes your perspective. And I hope that maybe, just maybe, you can see that God's greatest opportunity for you may be in the middle of a not so good situation. Maybe it's in that. Now, I know that some of you are struggling with some really hard things, and it would be easier to just, you know, complain about it than anything else. But what if you just change the way you look at it? What if you say, hey, I can't do anything about this, but I can look for the good things that God has given me in my life. I can still look for God's goodness, even in the middle of a not so good situation. I watched my mom do this maybe better than anybody I've ever seen before. Years ago, we were at her house, and everyone was there. And we're talking like the whole family. And so there were like aunts and uncles and cousins and complete strangers. I was like, how'd you get in here? Who are you? I don't even know. Okay, so there's like people I didn't even know. There's everyone there. It was chaotic. And I remember that night, my mom sat in her chair in the den the whole time. And she had the biggest smile on her face the whole time. And I remember at one point, I noticed that she hadn't eaten anything. So I went over to her. I was like, hey, mom, can I get you, you know, some spaghetti? And spaghetti was the best thing she made. And so she had made spaghetti. And I said, can I get you some spaghetti? And she said, no, honey, I'm not all that hungry. But she said, I just want to tell you, I love it when the family's all together. She said, I just love it seeing everybody here, you know, running around, smiling. And she said, that's what makes this night good for me. And I didn't notice it at the time, but looking back, she was sitting in a weird way, so I think she was uncomfortable. But I just remember that night was a great night, and she smiled the whole time. And I'll never forget that night, because the next day, I got a call from my mom. And my mom said, hey, I just want to let you know that mom's not doing well. And they put her in the hospital, and she has pneumonia. And it's not good. And so for the next few days, she fought that pneumonia, and it got worse and worse and worse. And about a week after, we sat in her house, and she had that smile on her face. We lost my mom. And the thing that blows me away is that she didn't complain one time. Her perspective wasn't, hey, I feel so bad. Her perspective was, I am so glad that I get to spend this time with my family. And I know my mama won't want me crying up here right now, but I know my mama will want us all to know, look, in the middle of your not so good situation, you can still look around and see something good to celebrate. There's goodness in the middle of your not so good situation. Paul said, do everything, do everything, do everything without complaining. Do everything without complaining. If you can't change it, change your perspective. And I know that's hard for some of you because you've lost your job, or you know, maybe you're going through some health stuff or medical things, okay? And I just want to remind you that when Paul wrote those words, do everything without complaining, he wrote them while he was in prison. He wrote them while he was in chains. He wrote them while he was possibly awaiting his future execution. Do everything without complaining. That's powerful, right? Maybe you're like me. You don't even have anything big to complain about. I'm an expert complainer about things that are not big. Like this week, on Sunday, I went home after church last Sunday, and I made the mistake of sitting next to the giant clothes pile on the couch that needed to be folded. And Stacy's like, can you help out with that? I'm like, yes. And so I started folding clothes, and my daughter, just so you know, she goes through more clothes in a day than like an entire season of Say Yes to the Dress. Like, it's just insane. And so like I have the Mount Everest of clothes piles sitting next to me, and I complain the whole time because I didn't write this message until Monday, so I was in my complaining mode. And Stacy looked at me at the end. She's like, you've been sitting there and you complain the whole time. And then she started preaching to me, and I was like, I'm the preacher in this family. Just anyway, I'm going to just leave that there. But all I needed to do was change my perspective. Thank God we have clothes to fold, right? Thank God I have a healthy, happy daughter. You know, even though she wears more clothes in one day than any child in the history of children, like, thank God. And so if you can't change something, don't complain about it. Change your perspective. And how do we do that? Well, just remember, you're not the center of the story. Jesus is the center of the story. And when he's the center of your story, it changes how you see life. Now, I'm going to help everybody here complain less this week. Okay, not only when you walk out of here today, can you sample my buffalo chicken dip? Okay, please do. But when you leave today, everybody's going to get an orange bracelet. Okay, and we chose orange because it's cheaper than blue on Amazon. So we got orange. So what I want you to do is I want you to get one of these bracelets as you walk out here. And this bracelet, okay, you got to play my games. Even if it doesn't match your salmon outfit or whatever, okay, you got to put this on. Because it's going to help you complain less. And here's how. Every time you complain this week, I want you to switch wrists. Just switch wrists. Now, remember, complaining is expressing annoyance or dissatisfaction about anything. So you may not want to go to Walmart this week, all right? But anytime you complain, all you're going to do is switch wrists. Now, I started this on Monday, and you might be wondering how many times I switched wrists on Monday. 9 times. And I gave myself a couple of mulligans, okay? Stacy also started on Monday, and you're probably wondering how many times she switched wrists, and don't worry about it. She's more spiritual than me. That's all I'm going to say. But after a week of this, after a week of wearing this, okay, not only do I have a lot less hair on my wrist from switching wrists, that's going to happen, but it blows me away at how much I was complaining, and I didn't even realize it until I put this on. The second thing that blows me away is less than a week later, yesterday, I moved it one time. Now, Friday wasn't such a good day, but yesterday was one time. So, put this on. Now, I pitched this idea to our Millsboro campus on Monday, and our students director, Josiah, said, well, if I complain once and I'm supposed to switch wrists, can I just complain again real quick so I don't have to switch? We let Josiah go on Tuesday, so no student ministry Thursday night. Anyway, don't do that, okay? And the second thing is, if your spouse is also participating in the wristband challenge, okay, you can point out to them when they complain that they need to switch wrists. Y'all like that, don't you? But if you do point out to them that they need to switch wrists, then you're actually complaining you need to switch wrists too. All right? All right, who's going to take the wristband challenge? Who's going to do this? Okay, good deal. Let me read a verse for you, and then we'll close in prayer. 1 Peter 3:10. I love these words, okay? Peter says, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, anybody want to enjoy life and see many happy days? Yeah. What do? He says, keep your tongue from speaking evil. I love that. Now, if your big fat mouth does speak evil this week, you got to switch wrists. But I promise you, if you do this, you'll have happy days and you'll enjoy life more. Let me pray for y'all. Jesus, I'm so thankful for those words because honestly, for me, it challenges me. This is a problem area for me, and I'm so thankful that we can read Paul's words while he's in prison, in chains to a Roman guard, and he says, look, do everything without complaining. And I think that can inspire all of us, no matter what our situation, no matter how bad the things are that we're going through, or maybe they're not bad at all and we just complain about anything. God, help us to know that we can go through this week without these complaining words coming out of our mouth. And so, God, I pray that you'll help us and challenge us with this week. In your name, amen.